Now, I want to read, and I know, of course, the prophet Ezekiel knew about the Abrahamic covenant. He
yes,
knew about
he did.
The promises of God.
Yes.
Now, here he is in captivity, and here's what we find in Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord is upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Now, some of you today, probably listening to this message, are in a real dead situation. That's why we're presenting this message. It may be some infirmity in a body, your body. It may be someone you love. It may be your finances. It may be a relationship. It may be your business. It may be your career. Well, I want you to listen to this, because here is a way for you to get out of that. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and talking about the bones now, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And you might say today in street language, beats me. I mean, only you would know, God. You're God. I'm just, you know. But here in verse 4 it says, And again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now God's beginning to tell him that things are going to change here.
Yes. Can I say something about those dry bones? All through the very first part of Ezekiel, we see the people of God who used to worship God. We see them now crying over Amuz, who was a female deity in this heathen land. They actually took on the worship of all the heathen gods. Israel was so defiled, they took on all these religions. They worshiped gods. They scrawled the gods' names on the walls. And Ezekiel had to see all this. Death was surrounding him. In fact, at one point, and we see it in Ezekiel 4, that God says, I want you to show the people how I feel about what they're doing. It is like dung to me, what they're doing. And he says, I want you to lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it, and you shall bear the iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. Now, what does this mean? God required this man to lie on his side for 390 days. How can a human being live for 390 days lying on his side? I don't know, but God permitted this to happen because it was a message to his people how much he abhorred what they were doing. And then an extra 40 days on the other side to represent the house of Judah. And he said, I want you to burn your own dung for the food that you're going to eat. I'm going to give you a supply of food. You're going to have it beside you. You're going to have wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and spelt, and put them in a vessel, and you can make bread for yourself during this time. And I want you to cook it on your own dung, on your own feces.
Sounds pretty gross.
Ugh. Talk about death. I mean, when we talk about death, that's what we talk about, maggots and feces, and that's a death thing. That's a horrible defilement there. And precious Ezekiel said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I have never been defiled, for from my youth until now I've never eaten what died of itself or was torn from beasts, nor has any unclean meat ever entered my mouth. And God is asking him to do this. And then God says, well, I'll tell you, you'll have some friends that'll bring you cow's dung to cook your meals on. And I'm sure he did have friends that did this with him. Over and over again, we see in the chapter 8 that his wife, the very desire of his eyes, died. He was surrounded by death, Darren, all the time continually. And that's where he's seeing this valley of dry bones. These are dead Israelites.
And what did he say to the prophet when his wife died?
Oh, he says,
don't celebrate death.
Yes, don't
mourn.
Don't
weep over her.
Don't, yes, go on.
Get up and go on.
Yes.
Mm. Well, I want to go back to 37, verse 4, and thank you for injecting that background, Barb. Again, I want to read this to you. He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I want to suggest this to you, that you think about where there is death in your life. Do you have a lot of bills you can't pay? Do you have a sickness that you can't get over? Do you have a circumstance in your job or your career that just, it seems like a mountain that can't move? Let's look at verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you know that I am the Lord. Now, you have a grasp on what is a sinew, Barbara?
The sinews are the muscular part of the body, which is the source of the vitality and strength of that body. And also, it's really interesting, Darren, I noticed here when he was saying, Son of Man, he's bringing Ezekiel right down to the humanity, the level of humanity that we all have to face, that we are human.
He was identifying him as a man.
That's right.
You are a son,
you
a woman, are, really. You're Son of Man.
Yes.
You're human.
And you are human. And I am God. I am your God, and you are human. Now, you've got to respect me for who I am, because I'm going to tell you something absolutely spectacular and miraculous here. And also, he said, say to the dry bones. And a lot of people, Darren, I believe, are afraid to talk to those inanimate objects. What do you mean, talk to the dry bones? What do you mean, talk to that chair? What do you mean, talk to that altar? And yet God several times in this word says you talk to those objects there.
But now here's what he did. He said, God said, now I want you to speak to the bones. And so he represented God, and he delivered the word of the Lord in verse 5. Thus says the Lord God to these bones.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I'll cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. God continues, and I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, flesh grew, skin covered them, but there was no breath in them.
Mm.
Some of you have all of the elements for a miracle, but there's no breath there. Now, the breath is the igniter. This is what makes it happen. There's no breath in them. Verse 9.
Well, and you have a definition of breath, and that's number 7307, and that's
Read
Ruach.
That, of course.
It's Ruach, and it's R-U-W-A-C-H. It's Hebrew. And 7307 is in your Strong's Concordance, or it's in the Old Testament part of your Dr. Zodiati's Bible. And this word breath means the creative word of God, Darren. Creative. It's a power. It's... How do we know what the creative power of God is, except that in 6 days he created the heavens and the earth? And I believe those were literal. I know there's a lot of talk about that and controversy about that, but I believe God Almighty created the whole earth by the very word of his breath.
Now, I believe it is a discrete number. I believe it was 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, if you can't buy that, God still did it. A man
That's
couldn't
right.
possibly do that. But I would like to say this. In Genesis chapter 1, God gave man, for example, dominion and authority and ability and power to rule and reign on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The reason man could do that is man, us, are made in his exact image and likeness. So we're like him.
That's right.
Now, he created 11 times, I believe it was, he said in the first chapter of Genesis, and God said and God spoke. And then the very last verse, God saw. In other words, God saw what he'd been talking about, what he'd been speaking out. Now, we as creative human beings, because God, one of the great things about the Lord God, is one of his attributes is he is creative. He can create things out of the unseen. So he can have an idea and speak it into existence. We can have an idea and we can speak that into existence if we remember who we are as covenant children of the Abrahamic covenant.
That's right.
And we are children of that Abrahamic covenant through Jesus. I want to go on and read here in verse 9.
Can I just say here, though, when you said prophesy to the breath, he said, and they all came together, all the bones came together and stood up, but they had no breath. Now, why couldn't God have just done it zap in one step? I believe he's teaching us that sometimes our miracle may take more than one time or more than one step to achieve the miracle we're looking for. And I believe, Darren, he wants us to build ourselves up in the Word, and he wants us to prophesy until the complete manifestation is before us.
See, I believe that you could have several applications or rendering of what you're talking about here. And I think a lot of times we have great flesh monuments built.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may be a building, it could be just an organization or whatever, but there's no life in it.
That's right.
I have watched for a number of years, being a preacher's kid and have grown up in the church, and watch. There's some people that go to the pulpit and address the word, and they say all the right words, and there's absolutely no life in them, and people aren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
Then a person comes along, and they have the anointing of God, which is the breath of God, which is the Spirit of the Lord. They start speaking, and people all of a sudden are riveted to what they're saying.
That's right, yes.
And then things happen.
Yes.
I believe then there's that life there, that breath of God is in that man or that woman's words. And because that anointing is in their heart, it comes out on their voice print. I listen to voice prints all the time, of course. I've done many years of talk radio and talk television. So a voice print means more to me than it would to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that voice print tells me what's in their heart. And it's as unique as their fingerprint. that voice print.
Yes.
So here we have God's voice print being spoken through the prophet, and not only just the words, but the life that's in the words. So here we go to verse 9.
And I love this verse you said, when Holy Spirit comes, he comes fully equipped.
That's right.
I love that.
That's
so
right.
Here's verse 9.
And he doesn't have to go back home and get some more tools and some